WMFO Medford. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks to Michael for the Dave Clark. Dave Clark 5. Almost. Almost. Something 5 with Michael Young Jackson. Right? The Jackson. So his voice sounds so high. It's really amazing, that high falsetto, right? Or it's not, I guess it's not a falsetto at that point. It's like,
but he's still a child.
He's still a child, right? Which he never really grew out of.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, it's wet out there. So if you're driving around, please be extra cautious. And don't assume that the guy in front of you or on the side of you is going to do what they're supposed to do, because invariably they don't. So in braking time, you know, with the leaves and everything, and oil slicks, just be careful, okay? We need you. We need you. So this is the voicemobile here at WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. And very happy to be here. I didn't make it last week, but that's all right. I'm hoping Morgan's going to come in today. I think he did say he was going to come in. So we'll see. Of course, it's miserable out there for him to schlep down. Somebody has decorated the studio with these really cute prehistoric birds and brontosauri and different things. They're very cute. Whoever did that, I love it. We're very prehistoric here, too. Bye-bye. Take care. So if you have been watching or listening to any of the impeachment hearings, it's really, I find it, in one way, fascinating how the lawyers and the witnesses do their dance. I mean, it's serious. And you know, ultimately it will affect the American community. But it seems like people are stuck into their positions pretty much, whether it's to the Democrats or the Republicans. And civil discourse, I don't know. I mean, how much of that is really possible? But I just find it fascinating how they, you know, decide. It's kind of like debate, only not 101, like at the advanced level, because so much is at stake. But how they pick apart everything, and whether or not somebody can testify, and whether or not their records are released, and so, I don't know. It just seems like this is kind of a sorry waste of time in a way. I don't know we're going to get the results that we want, but I think there was enough to indicate something, some kind of a process should occur. So we're into this process, or as they say in Canada, process. but it does give you a bit of a headache after a while. So I'm gonna do something as a calming influence. This is the Boston Symphony Orchestra, directed by Andras Nelson, the Brahms Symphonies, and the first one is Symphony Number 1 in C minor, Opus 68, and I'm not sure if we'll listen to all the movements, maybe just the first movement. I had the privilege of going to a very beautiful concert, a fundraiser for breast cancer, that was at Jordan Hall. I should have brought the program with me, but it was Brahms, Beethoven, and Mozart, and it was directed by the director of the Metropolitan Opera, and just absolutely brilliant. And I can't tell you his name. Terrible. I should have brought that with me, but it was really quite spectacular. He had that whole orchestra. It was a full orchestra, a symphony orchestra, in his hands. I mean, there just wasn't anything that was going on that this conductor wasn't on top of. It was brilliant. So if you've never had the experience of being in a big concert hall and hearing a full symphony with a world-class conductor, boy, do I recommend it. It is an antidote for some of the other stuff that we're subjected to. It's wonderful. And the dedication of the musicians. Everybody donated their fees so that all the money could go to cancer, breast cancer research, which is really quite marvelous. The other thing I want to take note of, and I don't see any information about it here in the studio. I wasn't, as I say, I wasn't here last week, unfortunately, but we were in the middle of a fundraising drive for WMFO. And if you go to WMFO.org, On our website, I believe there should be a link. I'll have to look when the music is playing to see how that works. The link should say, you know, to a fundraising drive. And then you have to, on that link, there's a special screen that you have to arrive at that is specifically to donate to WMFO. It's really important that you do that. And then within that, if you want to donate your funds to this particular program, which that would be lovely, the Voicemobile, in the notes section, you have to state that. Otherwise, I don't get credit for your interest in this program. And, you know, we like to give you the free form kind of programming that we have here at WMFO, lots of different kinds of programs. If you listen at different times of the day, you'll hear all different kinds of music, different kinds of DJs. And that's kind of what WMFO is about. You have people who are part of the university, and then you have community members, of which I'm one. And so, you know, in order to keep this kind of freeform radio station alive and to be able to, you know, do the things that we like to do for you, we would welcome your support. So there you have it. I'll look and see if I can find anything else more to show you online. But for now, we're going to go to this Brahms Symphony with Andras Nelson conducting, also a world-class conductor. Okay, so that was Tous les matins du monde. It is the score for the film Tous les matins du monde, and it's the original motion soundtrack, Alain Corneau. The song is Concert à deux viols, Libretture, and it's composed by Monsieur de Saint-Colombe, Jordi Savall's arranging. And it's played by Christophe Cohn and Jordi Savall. And I saw that movie years back. It was stunning. It was really stunning. I don't know if I saw it at the museum, but it was quite stunning, quite haunting, actually. So a couple of things. I see that the BSO has something coming up Thursday, November 21st. This is Andres Nelson's conducting, Daniel Losakovich on violin, and the Tanglewood Festival Chorus, James Burton conductor. They will be doing Arthur's Muscats, My River Runs to Thee, homage to Emily Dickinson. It's the world premiere, a BSO co-commission. Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto, Galina Grigoreja on Leaving for Unaccompanied Choir, and that will be on three of the dates because they have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Tuesday scheduled for this program. And the Shostakovich Symphony No. 2 to October. So it's going to be quite a good program. So they have Thursday, then Friday, which is Casual Friday, they call it, Saturday, November 23rd, and Tuesday, November 26th. So, and I'm looking for, I think it's bso.org, but where do they have their, they have a program and information line too. You can call 617-CONCERT, C-O-N-C-E-R-T, or 266-2378. You can get up-to-date program information. And they're located at the Symphony Hall, 301 Mass Ave in Boston. Okay, so I'm not seeing their website. Oh, here we go, bso.org. Okay, so that's good. All right, so also looking for some sweet, great-tasting snacks that are also healthy for you, try eating dried fruits, dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh, so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are an excellent natural source of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugars, which you probably don't want, preservatives, and other ingredients. But no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or a processed snack. A public service message from all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Somebody has colored in the fruits. It's really sweet. It says, eat me. I love it. All right. It's WMFO here at Tufts University. This is the Voice Mobile. I guess I don't know if I said that. And I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Happy to be here with you on this gloomy, rainy day, but it could be worse. It could be snow and it could be shovelable, so we shouldn't complain. We will, but we shouldn't. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay, so we just listened to Andre Previn. Previn plays Previn. Andre Previn, Thomas Martin, and the Hawthorne String Quartet. We listened to the first two movements of Sonata for Clarinet and Piano that was composed in 2010. The first movement, it has a quarter note equals CA dot 1/16th. So that's the rhythm, I guess. And number two is very slow. So the Hawthorne String Quartet is composed of Cai Jing Huang on violin, Ronan Lefkowitz on violin, Mark Ludwig on viola, and Sato Knudsen on cello. I was at a live performance. It was a gala benefit a couple of years ago. It was quite stunning. And I was really privileged to be at that performance. I think they do one almost every year. I didn't go to the one last year. I found out about it too late, and I didn't have my schedule clear to do that. So I'm going to stick a little bit with this coming theme. This is music from Haas and Krasa String Quartets, also with the Hawthorne String Quartet. And, boy, I can't see without my glasses, and it's really hard to keep putting them on and off. Let's see. Okay. We'll listen to Haas and Krasa String Quartet. It's quite long, so I probably won't play the entire thing, but you'll get a taste of it. Okay, so we need... And I also want to say that I did go to the WMFO page for donations. And when you go to that page, WMFO, it says you can go to donations. And then on the donations drive, it asks for your name and your email and your phone number if you want. And t-shirt size if applicable. I guess those are different gifts that we give. Amount donated and notes. Now, on the notes, you need to say for WMFO. And you need to also say, not for WMFO, that's obvious. But if you want it to go to my show, you need to say The Voice Mobile. And then you, at the bottom, it tells you how to navigate the next page. You follow the link to the Tufts Giving website. It's where all the donations were collected, and go through the university to be given to the station. It says that the way that donations comes directly to us is by selecting other. That's the key thing. When it says for the school, you have to select other, and then you type WMFO in the dialog box for other. So that's kind of tricky, but you're smart. You'll do it. And we hope that you'll support WMFO and the Voice Mobile. That would be great. Okay, so we can go back to, let's see. So we're going to now listen to some of this string quartet. This was created in 1921. I think this was music that was banned by the Nazi Third Reich, Fourth Reich, whatever it was. And let's see what it says in here in the materials. I have to try and extricate them from the plastic clamshell. Okay, so on this string quartet, actually... So these this is part of Entartete music. Music suppressed by the Third Reich. This is on Decca. It says this music, let's see if I can get the right pronunciation. Intartete Music is a series of recordings which represents three concepts. Number one, important works lost, destroyed, or banned by the political disruptions of the 20th century, most conspicuously the music suppressed by the Third Reich. Two, a representation of musical evolution, trends and ideas destroyed before reaching maturity, yet nevertheless contributing a valuable and almost unrecognized addition to 20th century music. And number three, the music of exile, the composer's outer response to new stimuli and challenges, the inward response to a different world, unable or unwilling to acknowledge their native musical language. So they go on to explain that they're surveying all different kinds of music, including opera, operetta, symphonic, and chamber music, as well as cabaret and Schlager. Well, there's rather extensive notes with this by Albrecht Dumling, translation from Decca Philip Weller. They talk about the Dusseldorf exhibition, which still remains vital and cooperative in many places, has confirmed this hypothesis. So what's the hypothesis? The plea for tolerance, for free speech and dialogue in the arts is what constitutes the significance for us today of the historical concept of Intartete music. The growing interest in the works of these once persecuted musicians, an interest first stimulated in the wake of the 1987 reconstruction, complete with historical commentary of the Dusseldorf exhibition. Well, it's quite fabulous. So let's see if I have something particular. Well, I'll look for that while I'm playing it. It talks about musical life in Theresien, the concentration camp at Theresien, or Theresienstadt, as it was known to German speakers, was set up at the end of 1941 and functioned both as a transit camp to the Nazi death camps and as a propaganda vehicle designed to deceive the world community. The latter function meant that the Nazis were willing to encourage cultural activities in the camp, and in 1942, the Freizeitgestaltung, or Administration of Leisure Activities, was founded by leaders of the Jewish community of Theresien. Pavel Haas was one of the first musicians to be deported to Theresien. And let's see, we were going to... So I won't talk about him because we're going to listen to Hans Krasse. He was transported to Theresien some months after Haas. Although he had won critical acclaim in pre-war Czechoslovakia, and his works had been performed in Paris, Zurich, Boston, and Philadelphia, his dissipated lifestyle meant that his output had been relatively small. However, his incarceration in Theresien meant that there were no distractions to divert the flow of his creative energies, and he was able to devote himself to his art with a new commitment. He soon became a leading member of the Theresien musical community. In 1943, the SS command ordered Krasse to rescore his children's opera Brundibar, originally composed in Prague in 1939. This piece also became a showpiece for Nazi propaganda about Theresien, and a performance was staged during a visit by the International Red Cross Committee on June 22, 1944. Scenes from the opera were shown in the film Der Führer, Schenkt den Juden ein Staat. Although the figure of Brundibar, the villainous organ grinder, was seen by all those present as a metaphor for Hitler. With the completion of the film, Krasse had outlived his usefulness, and he too met his death in Auschwitz in October 1944. Well, there's quite a lot more information. These are notes by Mark Ludwig, and he is the quartet's viola player and founder and director of the Theresien Chamber Music Foundation. It's a nonprofit, Boston-based organization whose mission is to develop an appreciation and understanding of the music written by composers who perished in the Holocaust. The work of the foundation, concerts, lectures, children's workshops, recordings, and research pays tribute to the unique creative spirit of the musical community, which developed at Theresien in the face of such adversity. The string quartets recorded here, although composed prior to their respective composers' incarceration in Terezin, are poignant testimonies to the great loss of these two creative voices silenced by the Nazis. It's bone-chilling, really. All right, let's see.
Thank you. Thank you.